This is Community Conversation. I'm Dale Gardner, and happy to have on the program to talk about the next great concert with the Adrian Symphony Orchestra, the executive director of the ASO, Libby Watson. Libby, welcome back.
Hi, Dale. Thanks for having us.
And also the music director and conductor, Bruce Kiesling. It's good to have you back on.
Dale, it's fantastic to be here.
We are going to be talking about the next concert that's going to be coming up, Libby. And tell us when this is going to be.
Yeah. Of course. So thanks, Dale. Our next concert is a classical concert titled Lincoln Portrait, and it's happening Friday night, May 2nd at 7:30, and it will occur at Dawson Auditorium on the Adrian College campus. The concert is preceded by a talk by Bruce Kiesling, our music director, that will begin at 6:40, and the box office will open at 5:30 that evening. Tickets are available now online 24 hours a day at adriansymphony.org or by phone to our office. That phone number is 517-264-3121.
Now, Bruce, is this going to be a continuation of the Copeland music that you've been featuring this season?
Absolutely. This is not only a continuation, but actually the end of the Copeland Festival. So you might remember last year we did a whole year of Stravinsky.
Yeah.
We followed that up with this wonderful year of Copeland. And last month we finished all the ballet suites that we played. So we've heard Rodeo, we've heard Billy the Kid, and then most recently Appalachian Spring. This we kind of do a different piece of Copeland's in this case, because the main Copeland work on this program is called The Lincoln Portrait. And this is not a ballet at all, a relatively short work, about 15 minutes long, and it includes two narrators. And these narrators are sort of quoting a few different speeches, a lot from the Gettysburg Address, but also some of Lincoln's other speeches as well. And we have this set up so that they'll go back and forth and kind of echo each other. Usually it's just done with one narrator, but I had the idea that having two narrators on different sides of the stage kind of echoing Lincoln's words, I think will only add to the impact of what's just an incredibly moving and powerful piece. You know, it starts off with like, fellow citizens, we cannot escape history. And the music is very rousing and sort of embraces the Americana style that we've heard so much from Copeland already this year. And the first like 5 minutes or so are just an instrumental introduction. And as we've also heard, we've heard so many of these pieces with Copeland, you know, he incorporates folk songs and American popular song. And so in this, you'll hear little pieces of Camptown Races and Turkey in the Straw, that Oh, Da, 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 Da.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's all in there. And so it really just epitomizes this American sound that we've heard so much of. And then it kind of moves the music after that kind of energetic sort of almost fiddle type sound that starts it. It moves into kind of this grandiose sort of more sustained passage. And that's when the speaking begins, fellow citizens. And it's really quite moving. And lots of wonderful narrators have done this historically, from James Earl Jones and Gregory Peck. And you can find all the kinds of these great, great voices. And we have two wonderful narrators coming for this. We have Dorian Hall and Levante Hurd. Levante, he's a good friend of the orchestra. He's performed on a couple of our holiday concerts.
Yes.
And just blew the roof off the place.
Absolutely.
I remember one of the performances when he did, it was either O Holy Night or one of the other tunes, and he didn't even use a microphone.
He's like, no, that's gonna, right.
Yeah, he took the mic away. I don't need a microphone.
And he didn't.
And he just absolutely brought the room to its knees. It was so fantastic. And that, you know, that's the kind of thing, you know, he had come on a recommendation from a colleague of mine, and they're like, oh, this guy's going to kill it. He absolutely did, and the audience just went crazy when his first song ended. And it's so nice to be able to say, don't, he'll be back later tonight, you know, with more. So those are some holiday events that he did with us, but we've been trying to get him on one of our classical programs, and he just has this wonderful presence. So he'll be not only narrating this piece, but return to sing on the second half of the program.
So this is going to be, some of the music, as you mentioned, Bruce, is going to be music that you're going to be familiar with and think, oh my gosh, I didn't realize.
Exactly. And so much of it with Copeland, you're like, oh yeah, I recognize this part. And you'll hear little bits of things that just, it gives it this sort of home and familiarity that I think that it's what drawn people to Copeland's music for years. And he really made a specific decision in his own compositional career in the 1920s when he was a kid. Because he was born in 1900, so right in the 20s, while he was, you know, deciding what kind of composer he's going to be. He was writing some more experimental music that was a little bit out there. And then in the 30s, he really had a sort of epiphany moment for himself. And he said, no, I want music that's really going to touch people, that's really going to be, he said, be useful, you know, and not just written kind of for academics or for posterity, but really write music that's going to speak to people in a powerful way. And you hear that change, especially in the ballets that we've been playing. Billy the Kid was one of the first in that Appalachian Spring that we did, written right around the same time as this Lincoln portrait. And then there's another short opener that we're going to do called the Jubilee Variation. And this, I like to say, this is Copland's absolute shortest piece.
Oh, yeah?
Yes. So it's only 90 seconds long.
You're kidding.
Yeah, it's really in and out quickly. And there's a very famous Copland piece called The Fanfare for the Common Man. And Continental Airlines used to use that tune for their theme.
Yeah.
There was a big Americana thing there for a while where United was using Rhapsody in Blue.
Yes.
And at the same time, Continental was using Aaron Copland's Fanfare for the Common Man. And Fanfare was written for the Cincinnati Symphony. After World War II, there was some money given to the orchestra to commission a bunch of concert openers.
Mm-hmm.
And the most famous of those is Fanfare for the Common Man that kind of entered standard repertoire. You hear that piece played all the time. The other piece, though, that Copland wrote for it is this piece called the Jubilee Variation. So it's just meant to be this sort of curtain raiser, really quick, very exciting, very tuneful, lots of high energy, and the happiest 90 seconds you're likely to hear in any of our concerts this year. So that'll be a nice little opener. And then, of course, we have the Lincoln portrait before we move into our main work. And in a way, this, you know, we have two more concerts left. So we have April and then in June with our Neil Diamond tribute, which we're calling Sweet Caroline. But this is kind of the orchestral finale. Mm-hmm. So we always like to do something big and colorful and exciting for our April/May program. In this case, it's going to be May 2nd. Sometimes that concert falls in April, but May 2nd in this case.
Yeah. Well, you mentioned about Levante is going to be back to perform. Do I understand that he'll be accompanied by someone else, or you have somebody else on?
For this piece, which is the Paukenmesse, which is just a fancy way to say the timpani mass of Franz Joseph Haydn, there are four soloists for this piece.
So
there's a soprano, an alto, a tenor, and a bass. And our two narrators from the first half, Dorian and Levante, they'll come back to sing in the quartet, as well as a dear friend of the orchestra and everyone here in Adrian, because our soloist, Kristen Clark, she'll be back to sing the mezzo part, the alto part, and then a wonderful soprano as well, Catherine Good. So they make up this wonderful quartet of singers, and then they're joined by the choirs from Adrian College, and as well as Kieskera Men's Chorus will be with us. So we'll have a big chorus up here to do what's one of these major choral orchestral works, this timpani mass. And you might have, if you were timing things, said, 90 seconds, and then this short Lincoln portrait. The first half of the concert's quite short. Then we'll take our intermission because we have this very exciting and colorful mass, which is made up of, you know, the typical movements, the Kyrie, the Sanctus, the Gloria, and then the Agnus Dei, etc., of a typical Latin mass, which was a very, very common piece for composers to write during this period. And I think maybe on this show even, Dale, we've talked about how Beethoven was one of the first composers to have a stipend, and his patron just said, I'm going to give you a yearly stipend, write whatever you want.
Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah, Beethoven was the first to ever have that kind of freedom as a composer and not be sort of commissioned, write something like you wrote last week, but new. There was a lot of that going on for Mozart and other composers. Well, Haydn almost had that because in the very end of his life, he had worked for Prince Esterhazy. He was the court composer. And then that prince passed away and his brother became the new prince. And his brother was a little less interested in classical music. And so, but Haydn by this time was in his 70s or 80s. He lived a very, very long life.
Mm-hmm.
And so he didn't want to like get rid of the program altogether. So he just told Haydn, look, I'm going to continue to pay you. All you have to do is write one mass a year. And you can do whatever you want the rest of the year.
Wow.
And this is actually one of the first masses that he wrote when he had that kind of freedom. And he's like, okay, once a year I have to produce a mass. And he did six really great ones. And this was the first or the second one, I can't remember exactly. but it's just so wonderful, so colorful. Haydn was really known for his text painting. So if the text of it is the Gloria, you know, sort of celebration,
sure.
You hear that in the music and the trumpets and the timpani and all this excitement. So the choir and the soloists, everybody's going great guns. In the Kyrie, Lord have mercy, that part is this sort of aching and quiet. And Haydn was so good at creating that sound in the orchestra. And so you'll hear that throughout all of the movements of this mass, celebrating not only the great singing of the choirs that we have with us, also the chorus, and you'll really hear this wonderful, wonderful orchestration of Copland, or sorry, of Haydn.
Yeah.
And the last thing I would say is that this title, the Paukenmesse, the timpani mass, that's just the German word for timpani, is Pauken. And so you hear a very prominent part for the timpani in there. And so that was his idea to call it that. It's kind of a nickname. It's just called mass number. I can't remember what the number is.
Yeah.
But I think it's 7 or 8 in of the all the masses that he wrote. But definitely, you see, it's become known as the timpani mass because you hear a lot of sort of timpani drums back there going crazy during this. And it was written during the time when it was after the French Revolution, so in 1896, and the French were at war with Italy and Germany, and they were the Austrians.
Sure,
Haydn was an Austrian. He was worried about the French coming, and so there was this sense of, like, it's very much in favor of peace, but it's known kind of as another nickname, mass in the time of war.
Oh.
And so it's a real plea for peace, even though it's very fiery and very exciting, but very much was rooted in its time and what was going on in history there. So we think this is going to make a wonderful finale for our orchestra season before we have our Pops concert in June. And we think that we'll have a wonderful crowd there because of the choirs, because of the soloists. And we'll be wrapping up our Copland Festival. So lots of reasons to come to this one.
Absolutely. And when you say, you know, have a big ending, you're not a kidding here,
oh,
Bruce.
Yeah. There's going to be close to 150, 180 musicians on stage.
So wow.
It's really going to be a lovely event.
Yes. Plus with your vocalists as well as the Chiaroscuro being on there. Yeah, and the Adrian College course too.
Yeah, so we'll have a lot of singers there, and we think it's just going to be really great.
Absolutely. It's like, okay, Libby, holy cow, you better get your tickets on this one.
That's right, that's right. And so how do you get those tickets? Well, let me tell you. You can head online. Our website is adriansymphony.org. You can call our office. Number is 517-264-3121. And we'll have the box office open 2 hours before the performance begins. This is all happening. It's called Lincoln Portrait is the title of the concert. It's happening Friday, May 2nd. Concert begins at 7:30 p.m. at Dawson Auditorium on the Adrian College campus. Like I said earlier, there will be a pre-concert talk given by Bruce Kieslinger, music director. That begins at 6:40. So come early to hear that. He'll have even more stories than you heard here tonight to share with all of you. Again, that's 6:40 on May 2nd, and then the concert begins at 7:30. There will be a cash bar in the lobby as well.
Do you have some thank yous for this concert as well?
Yeah, we'd love to thank some folks. Thank you, Dale. We want to thank our concert season sponsors. Of course, Plainwave Instruments has given us tremendous support this season. We thank grantors like the Michigan Arts and Culture Council, the National Endowment for the Arts, and the Lenawee Community Foundation as well for their support. And as always, we thank the Maurice and Dorothy Stubnitz Foundation for funding the guest artists, providing the guest artist underwriting to bring these excellent guest artists to Adrian.
I know we see this, and I see this all the time, that make sure you get your tickets early for the concerts because they're going to be a great concert. This is going to be, as Bruce was well said, being such a great big concert and a nice wrap-up to the Copland series, is that you better get your tickets early on this one.
Don't miss this one for sure. It's a great finale to our season-long look at this great music by Aaron Copland that just hearing 150 musicians on stage, like that sounds like, wow, what an impact that's going to have on all of us in the audience. So get your tickets now and bring friends.
Absolutely.
It's a great way to spend an evening together.
And maybe we'll hear Levante once again.
Oh, yeah, it's a real treat. We're excited about that for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. So, yeah, make sure you get your tickets for this. This is going to be a real great one to be able to go to, as they have all been. And, of course, we'll be looking forward to the Sweet Caroline concert coming up in June, too, which we'll come back and talk a little bit more about as well. So I want to thank you so much for being on the program. great, exciting concert coming up. And again, May 2nd at 7:30 p.m. It's a Friday concert, Dawson Auditorium, Adrian College. Libby Watson, thank you so much.
Thanks, Dale. We'll see you next time.
Absolutely. Bruce Kiesling, thank you so much, my friend.
Absolutely. Thank you, Dale.
This has been Community Conversation. I'm Dale Gartner, and we'll talk again soon.